I want to use some scripture this morning that's out of the Old Testament. I've used this, and I'm not sure whether I've used it here or not, but I've used it in the past. And that's unfortunately one of the things after that. You get so old and you've preached so many times that sometimes you forget where you've preached or when you've preached a particular portion of the Word of the Lord. The thing about it is the Word of the Lord never gets old, and it never gets to the point of where we can't learn from it. I was reading again this morning and reading a portion that I've read many, many times and saw some things that I have not seen before. And I hope that each of you have that experience. And maybe if you've heard me use a portion of this, that all it will do is the Apostle Peter wrote whenever he was writing and said, "Brethren, I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance," that maybe I can just stir your minds up a little bit. What I've said in the past about this particular portion of the Word of the Lord, it's a demonstration of how that some people who have the responsibility of doing something don't do it. And then God always provides someone who will do it. And those who should have done it then are critical of those who are doing it. Now, does that make any sense to you? Effectively, what it's saying is that, you know, many, many times the most critical people in the world are the people who should be doing the job instead of doing the criticizing. And they aren't going to do the job, and they aren't going to be happy to let someone else do it without doing everything they can to prevent it. In this particular portion of the Word of the Lord, out of the 17th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel, you have the situation of, and you're all familiar, I'm not even going to read the latter part of this chapter because you're all familiar with it. It's the story of David and Goliath. Y'all know that one. You already know what the outcome was there. But what sometimes I think is that people forget to realize that other than it being in God's great scheme, David was not the man who was supposed to be out here fighting against the Philistine giant. David was a shepherd boy at this time, and he had been given the responsibility, which is a menial task in that day, of going out and taking care of his father's sheep, while his older brothers were sent into the service of their country and were out here in the army of Israel fighting against the Philistines. And you're all familiar with that the Philistines had a champion among them, a fellow by the name of Goliath, who stood over 9 feet tall, had all kinds of weaponry. He had his own armor bearer. He was a very famous individual among the army of the Philistines, but he was even more famous among the army of the Israelites. He was famous for different reasons to different people. But he'd come out every day and he would challenge the army of Israel to send out a man to fight against him. And the understanding was is that whichever one was to win the battle, the other would become servants to them. And so he was a man of renown. And certainly the army of Israel had listened for some 40 days to his challenge and had not sent forth a man to fight against him. Now, what I want to back up, though, before that final battle took place, to let you see a few of the things that led up to David going out there and fighting against the Philistine giant. The one thing that I think is important that you understand is that David, from the very onset, was a young lad who was listening to what the Lord said unto him. And he was obedient unto what the Lord was saying, and as the Lord was leading him in his life. And God had a great plan for this man by the name of David. We all know that. We know what a an outstanding person. He became a man that the Bible says was a man after God's own heart. But he had his flaws, he had his faults, he made his mistakes, and he did some things that for us today would just be unforgivable. But God forgave him. God forgave him, and God used him. In our own lives, there may be some times and there may be some events whenever that we think we have done things that God just cannot forgive us. What I find most often is that God's much more forgiving than we are. That many times God is willing to forgive us if we could just forgive ourselves. God is willing to carry on and let us carry on in His work if we just are willing to do that. But too often we want to wallow around in our own pity or our own mire, and we want to feel sorry for ourselves, or we want to have some kind of an excuse as to why we're not going to go on. Now let me tell you something. David, according to the word of the Lord, with all of his faults and with all of his mistakes, was a man who loved the Lord, and the Lord loved David. And here he is, he's a young shepherd boy, and he's out here herding his father's flock. And the Bible says, "And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn." I'm picking up with the 16th verse, 17th chapter, 1 Samuel, if you're wanting to follow along with me. A parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousand, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now, I want you to listen carefully to what the instructions of the father was to this young lad David. I've said so many times, and I continue to say to you this morning, that God gives very explicit instructions to us. God does not leave us in darkness. God does not leave us to question or to doubt what He expects and what He wants of each one of us as individuals. We too much of the time are concerned about what God wants somebody else to do. We spend too much of our time worrying whether or not this one or that one or the church or that church is doing what they should, instead of listening to what God is saying to us as individuals. God is a perfect leader. God makes the way so plain. The Bible says that a fool, so wayfaring, would not err therein. So God gives us very clear instructions. Unfortunately, sometimes we don't want to hear what He has to say. But the point that I want you to understand here is that David, his father calls him into the house, calls him out from taking care of the sheep, and says, I've got a little job, I've got a little mission trip that I'm going to send you on. I want you to go up there to where the army of Israel is, and I want you to see how your brothers are doing. I want you to take some provisions for them. I want you to be able to go up there and to be able to get into the camp there. See, God always provides everything. We sometimes forget that. We forget that God not only has a work for us to do, but He'll provide the means for us to get the job done if we will listen to Him and if we will allow Him to do that. Too often, We think we know what that is He wants done, and we come up with our own ideas and our own ways of how we're going to accomplish it, and find out then that didn't work. Well, the reason it didn't work, it wasn't what God provided for us to do the job. We wanted to do it our way. We wanted to do it ourselves. If we even want to do it, and most of the time, we don't even want to try. Well, David has instruction, and so the Bible says, "Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to this man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Now, David has a perception here that apparently has escaped many of these men who were out here supposedly fighting for Israel. David recognizes more than this army does as to what really is taking place here. He's not nearly as concerned as to whether or not that they're going to be in servitude as that this man and this army is defying God. Plain and simple. That was David's concern. He was concerned that this man and this army was defying the armies of the living God. And the people answered him after this manner, saying, "So shall it be done to the man that killeth him." And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, Eliab's anger, anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why camest thou down hither? What are you doing down here?" Now this is David's older brother. This is the oldest brother. What are you doing down here? You know, why are you here? Now, obviously, he didn't know that his father had sent David down here. Second, he didn't know that David was down here to find out about his well-being, but he's already mad, he's already upset, he's already angry. But there's a reason behind all of this. And sometimes I think that's one of the things that our people don't understand. We just look too many times at the surface. I thought this morning, since we didn't have any children's church, I thought for a few minutes, well, I'll bring the kids up here and I'll tell them what's going on with my chin, you know, what they see. And I could ask them if 2 weeks ago if they had noticed why that I would have this on here, and they wouldn't have. It was just a spot, a very small spot there. But everybody here this morning has noticed what's on the preacher's chin. From a little bitty spot, it's gone to a pretty good sized hole. And I guess the point that I wanted to make was that many times what we see is not really what's going on. And sometimes when you begin to read some of these things and you listen and you see where Eliab was angry, he was angry. He was angry with David. Why was he angry with David? I want to tell you why he was angry with David. Because he knew that he was not doing what he should have been doing. And David has come out here and has identified what's going on. It's not just that the battle out here is going to be whichever one is the toughest, whichever one is the biggest, whichever one can go out here and be the most effective. David said, this man and this army, this people, the Philistines, have defied the army of the living God. They've defied my God. You know, sometimes we just need to think a little more than what we do. We need to be a little bit sure of what we're supposed to be doing versus what maybe we think everybody else should be doing. David said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the army of the living God?" But his brothers, and he says, "What are you doing out here?" Now listen what he says. "Why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness?" Who did you leave those sheep with? And all of a sudden his brother's concerned about those sheep back there in the wilderness. But let me tell you something. David had taken care of those sheep before he left. Yeah. He hadn't neglected his job. He hadn't failed to take care of those sheep before he left. Go back and read it again. You'll find that he had left in the care of others. So he had done what he was supposed to. He was listening to his father, and he was there because his father had sent him. And so as he's here and he's trying to find out the well-being of his brother now is angry with him. "What are you doing here, first of all? Second, I'm concerned about those sheep back there." Funny, he hadn't been concerned about them before. He hadn't bothered to do anything before. He's been out here for quite some time. Hadn't been anything said about him. But now then he's concerned. He says, and "I know thy pride." I know why you're out here. "I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." I know why you're out here. You're out here because you just want to see this battle. You want to see this fight. Let me tell you something. This little guy's out here not because he wants to see a battle, but he's going to fight a battle. He's out here because somebody has defied his God, his Savior, the man who has been with him, who has seen him through the battles that he's already been involved in as a young lad. And he's not willing to just sit on the sideline and let someone else do the fight, because they're not going to do it. Every single one of you that are here this morning as a child of God have a responsibility unto the Lord. A responsibility unto the Lord. You don't owe me anything. You don't owe this church anything. You don't owe this community anything if you really want to get technical about everything. We, most of us, if we really want to just be honest about it, probably owe a lot to each one of those other than me. You don't owe me anything. But let me tell you something. The man who saved your soul, the person who has given you eternal life, you owe to him. And you have a responsibility unto him to serve him and to do his work and to do his will as he directs and as he teaches in his word. Think whatever you want about everyone else and everything else, but you owe that unto the Lord. Every one of us. That includes me at the head of the list. David is out here because there is a battle to be fought. What are you doing out here? I know why you're out here. You're out here because of the naughtiness of your heart, and you just want to see this battle. Why wasn't his brother out there taking the challenge? He's a professional soldier. No, no. He isn't going to do it. Like a lot of saved people today who are not going to do one single thing to help the cause of Christ, but sit on the sideline and be critical of you whenever that you try to do something as the Lord would have you do it. And I pray this morning that God will just help each one of us to have enough courage and enough strength that we're going to say, "You know what, Lord? You're deserving of everything I can do and every bit of my service for you as long as I live. And my commitment needs to be to you, to do your will and not worry so much about what everybody else is going to think, because they're going to sit on the sideline and they can't see that you could do anything right. Aren't going to do it themselves. I've been through this enough times over the years. I've seen it, you know, and it's always, it's not some old lost person out here that could care less. It's somebody who's supposed to know better. Let me tell you, each one of us have a wonderful, wonderful person in our lives, and that's the Lord, and He'll be there for us. Now listen. And David said, what have I now done? Why are you so upset with me? What have I done? What have I done? I came out here to try to see about how you were, and I brought you some provisions from our father, and our father wants to know how you're doing, and I come out here and I see what's taking place. What have I done? He said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Is there not a reason? Don't you guys have any purpose? And he turned from him to another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the form of manner. Now right there is where the 31st verse, that's your homework this week. That's where you pick up. And that's where David now is going to get ready. And he's going to listen to these people tell again what all will be done for this person who goes out here and fights against the Philistine giant. And David says, well, you know what? I'll go out there and fight against him. I'll go out there and fight against him because he has defied my God. And my God will be with me. I know He will. And the reason I know He will is because He's been with me before. He's helped me whenever I needed help. Whenever there was a lion came along and a bear came along, I was able to kill them both because God helped me to do the job. Let me tell you something. You have the wonderful privilege of having God as your leader, as the person who will help you as you do the work of the Lord. I promise you this morning from experience that He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will provide for you just as He does for everyone else if we will allow Him to and we will follow Him. There are going to be people who are going to be critical of you, of you. And whether or not you allow that criticism to overcome you or not is up to you. I can't do anything about it for you. I can't make your decisions and you can't make mine. But I guarantee you this one thing. Each of us in our heart know when the Lord is speaking to us. We need to listen to Him. We need to trust Him and we need to follow Him.